We're delighted again to have Dr. Brian Green with us to bring the Lord's Word today. He preached last Lord's Day evening. Yes, it was to be a very brief message. And it was very brief. We haven't put quite the same time restrictions on him today, but we're glad that he's with us. He has been in the United States to preach at the Bible Conference at Bob Jones and also to travel in many states to try to make known to as many people as possible the 1990 World Congress of Fundamentalists in London, which will be more than just a gathering of fundamental Bible believers and an opportunity to hear American, English, Northern Irish, Scottish, European, I forget from all the places, African, etc., preachers bringing the word. But it will be an opportunity to raise a testimony in London. London is a very large city, and it is a very needy city. England has certainly fallen from the glory days when Reformation doctrine and preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit were prevalent. There's need of a testimony like this. We feel that this is one way to strengthen the hands of the brethren. And so Brian has been going around making churches aware of what is happening. We hope to be able to get together a package in due time that we can try to interest some of you in going over there. We think that we can get together something that you'll be interested in participating in, not only the services, but you'll be able to visit the historic sites of London in the afternoons, and then we will have an extra time in various places, possibly Scotland and Ulster. That'll be what we hope to do, and we hope that you'll be able to be there. But that's why Brian Green's in America at this time. We're glad that he's been able to join with us in the services here. It's good to welcome him. He's the pastor of Calvary Free Grace Baptist Church in, well, I say London, because it's as near as you and I need to know. I'll not give you the exact postal address, but he's been a friend of ours in the Free Church for many, many years, and we have rejoiced in many battles fought and won, and many others just fought over the years. So we welcome our brother back to the pulpit here, and I'm going to ask him to come now and bring us the Lord's Word.
I want to thank your minister very much for inviting me here and to share in this wonderful day with you all. I must say that I'm especially pleased to come into a Free Presbyterian Church on an Easter Sunday, and I'll tell you why. Because for many, many years now, far more years than I really care to remember, but certainly some 20 years, I have preached every Easter at some time or other in a Free Presbyterian Church. This year, it would have been different. When I accepted the invitation to come to the conference, I didn't know it was at Easter time. Neither did Dr. Paisley. That's why he had to go back so very, very fast, because, of course, of his great Easter convention, which I was already booked for, really, and I would have preached at. But this would have been the first Easter for I don't know how long that I wouldn't have preached an Easter at a Free Presbyterian Church. So I'm very glad, not only for that reason, but also, of course, because I feel very much at home here, and you've made me feel at home every time I've come here. So I want to thank you very, very much for the invitation, for the opportunity to share with you on this lovely day. I want you to turn with me this morning, if you will please, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I'm going to read a few verses of this psalm. It's a long psalm, but I want to read some verses because I feel that it's such a joyful psalm for such a day as this. Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish for ever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. God will bless his own precious word as we have read it publicly together. I want this morning to try, if I can, to speak to you from that well-known verse 15. I love to preach from well-known verses, and I'm sure that this is a verse which is familiar to many of you here this morning. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. I want to try, if I can today, to speak to you about the Easter message. And you may say that the text that I have chosen may seem a very strange verse to take for Easter and to speak to you about the Easter message. But I trust that before the service is much older, that you will see with me how this verse has so very much to do with the glorious and grand message which we have to proclaim, that Jesus rose again from the dead. Now, the question that I want to try, if I can, to ask myself is simply, what is the joyful sound that we read of in these verses? Now, I've read to you this psalm, and I did so because I love this psalm so very much. What a glorious psalm it really is. You'll notice in verse 1 it speaks of the mercies and the faithfulness of God. And verse 2 adds again these words, the mercy and faithfulness of God. Surely it's a joyful sound for every believer to hear about mercy and to hear about faithfulness of God. And then if you go further on, you'll read in verse 3 about the covenant of God, and we think of the covenants of God in Scripture. My, what a joyful sound it is to know the covenant sure and certain to our hearts today. And then if you go on, you'll see perhaps verse 1 speaks of the promises of God. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. This, of course, was the promise to David, but it's certainly a promise for us as well. Verse 5 maybe speaks about the wonders of God. The heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And so on, we could go through this psalm and we could note the wonderful blessings and benefits that this psalm speaks of to the believers. And our question really is this. Is this the joyful sound that we're reading of in verse 15? Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. Well, all of these things should be joyful sound in your ears this morning. If you truly know the Saviour and you know what it means to experience salvation. But I want to suggest to you that although this psalm is full of blessings, and we could speak of all the blessings of God, the joyful sound is something even more than them. And I trust today that you and I can enter into what this joyful sound really is. I believe that this joyful sound is a direct reference to the joyful sound made by the bells on the high priest's garments. Now let me explain. You may remember that the high priest had beautiful and glorious garments. For instance, there was a breastplate, and that breastplate had the names of the tribes of Israel. And every time the high priest went into the very presence of God, he was the people's representative before God. He had an ephod on him, and then he had a robe, he had a broidered coat, he had a mitre on his head or a turban, and then he had a girdle round about. Exodus chapter 28 tells us that all these garments were for glory and for beauty. Every detail has a spiritual meaning. We haven't time to go into that this morning, and that really isn't our message. But we know this, that the high priest in the Old Testament was a type or picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what the high priest was in the Old Testament, our Saviour is, and much more besides. Now we know this, that around the hem of the robe of the ephod, we read in that chapter in Exodus that there were purple and blue around. It was of scarlet thread. There were pomegranates, and then there was a bell and a pomegranate and a bell. And how glorious it must have been to see the high priest in all of his beautiful garments. Now I want to suggest to you today that the joyful sound that we read of in this particular verse was the bells ringing as the high priest moved around. They would know that the high priest was near, and his presence meant that they would receive blessing. Now there was a special day in which those bells would be heard more than any other day. It was the day of atonement, and the hearing of those bells on the Day of Atonement would give assurance and would tell the people that they were accepted with God. Now again, let me just remind you something of the history that we read of in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 16, we have the whole instructions concerning the great Day of Atonement, and there are the regulations which governed the behaviour of the high priest on that day. The high priest would go in to the holy place. He was going in on behalf of himself and of the people. He was going to make an atonement. But first of all, he would lay aside his beautiful and his glorious garments, and he would put them by the side. And then he would take on himself just linen garments. And it was in the linen garments that the high priest would go forth to make an offering for sin. Ah, we see a picture there of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid aside his beautiful garments of heaven, the glory and the praise and the honour and the majesty of heaven's glory was laid aside, and he took unto himself the linen garments. He took on himself the form of a servant, even the form of a man, was made in the likeness of man, and came and dwelt among us. The high priest would go forward, and first of all there would be the offering of the bullock for the sin offering for himself and his house. There was the ceremony relating to the two goats. There was the slaying of the bullock for the sin offering. And then there was the carrying of the censer of the burning coals into the holiest place. After that, there was the sprinkling of the blood of the bullock of the sin offering for himself and for his house. The slaying of the goat of the sin offering for the house of Israel. That was showing something of the cross. There was the making of atonement for the holy place, for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And then after that there was the transferal of the iniquities of the children of Israel onto the living goat. And the living goat was sent out into the wilderness. Our sins are to be remembered no more. Now all these steps, which I have quickly gone through with you this morning, were all taken before the high priest entered into the tabernacle of the congregation. And there he was with his linen clothes on. And here's the picture of our Lord Jesus who died for us upon the cursed tree, shedding his precious blood so that you and I might be forgiven, so that our sins and our iniquities should be remembered no more. But now the work of atonement was over. The people would be waiting diligently. And they would be waiting to hear, to see and to know if the high priest was alive. The high priest would take off the linen garments. He would put on his beautiful garments once again. And he would move about inside of that holy place. And the people are silent at this time. No one dare cough or murmur. They're listening for the joyful sound. And suddenly they hear the bell. And they hear the joyful sound. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Ah, my friend, this morning, that's what Easter is. We come today and we've remembered the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've remembered his great sacrifice for sin. And we thank God that our sins are to be remembered no more. But this morning we come to hear the joyful sound. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us as we come here this morning? It means he's alive. He's alive. You know, in that Exodus chapter 28, and you read it at your leisure, you'll read in verse 35 this word, "His sound shall be heard." His sound shall be heard. Can you imagine the people as they're waiting? And they're waiting to hear the sounds. The high priest has undertaken the work of atonement, and now he's gone into the presence of God to present that blood within the veil. We know that God said that any man who dared to do this, it should be instant death. And so the question is the high priest all right? Has God accepted his person and accepted the sacrifice? Is everything all right? Is the work of atonement acceptable to Jehovah? Can we say that the Jehovah has cleansed us and forgiven us? They hear the sound of the bells. And the news is he's alive. He's alive. He's come out from the holiest of all now. And all is well. The atonement has been accepted. And the good news to the wandering people is that their sins are forgiven. My friend, that is the joyful news of Easter. It's the resurrection message that you and I know and that which we love. Our great high priest is alive and Jehovah has accepted the sacrifice. And therefore you and I are forgiven of our sins. Oh, we thank God that Jesus shed his blood. And that then after that death upon the cross, he presented his precious blood to the Father. And the Father received it and accepted it. And now we hear the bell. Today, our high priest is alive and he's alive forevermore. Oh, lift up our heads today. We can hear the bells. But notice what the verse says. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Oh, yes, we hear it, but do you know what it means in your own experience? Oh, this is speaking about something which we know ourselves. It's something which we experience, which is deep down in our hearts. We know the joyful sound, the bells that ring, which tell us our Saviour is alive. Prophesied in the old, by the Old Testament prophets, pictured in the Old Testament scriptures, by so many different ways, the two little birds that were taken as the sacrifice.
One was slain and put under the water, and his little blood would be put in the basin. And the other bird, dipped in that blood, flies free. The death of our Lord Jesus, and then the resurrection shown to us.
The four separate accounts in the Gospels concerning his resurrection. The individuals who all testify to it. Mary and the women. Thomas and Peter. The two on the road to Emmaus. Oh, all down the ages, men and women have experienced this wonder-working power of the risen Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, today we believe in the resurrection. Christianity is founded upon an empty cross and an empty tomb. The resurrection, the doctrine of the resurrection, is the very keystone of our New Testament gospel. Yes, of course, we believe in the cross, but go through the Acts of the Apostles and see what was the glorious doctrine of apostolic preaching. It was Jesus is alive. Yes, the atonement has been accomplished. The Father has accepted the sacrifice, and we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. We believe in justification. What do we mean by that? Sometimes we sing a chorus which is certainly inaccurate. We believe that he did not rise to justify. Our justification was upon the cross. But indeed, he rose because of our justification. Our justification was complete when Jesus died for us, and he rose because of our justification. Oh, this morning, what a glorious thing to know that he is alive. You know, I hope you can understand this, but I come from London, and I was brought up in the East End of London. My first church was in Stratford, which is the East End of London, where they speak the Cockney language, real London Cockney language. One day a man was looking in a shop, and he was looking at a cross. And as he looked at the cross, a little boy came up to him, and he could say better than the man understood, and he said, Mister, he's riz. And that surely is our message today. We may say it with better English and better diction maybe, but he's riz. He's alive forevermore. But listen, I want you to notice something else here, because not only do we see that our Saviour is alive, but I believe that also the sound of the joyful bells tell us something else. He was active. You see, the music of those golden bells to the Jews long ago, as they worshipped there, told them that their representative has been active on their behalf. Aaron would come out after presenting the blood to God. But Jesus remained within the veil. And today he is within the veil. And we say, what is the purpose of it? Ah, my friend, can you hear the bells this morning? Or can you know those bells? Because what they tell us is, our Saviour is still within the veil. And he's active on our behalf. Not only is he alive, but he's active even this morning. The epistle to the Romans tells us that he maketh intercession for us. Oh, this morning, our Saviour prays for us in heaven. And then the epistle to the Hebrews indeed tells us something very similar about how indeed he intercedes on our behalf. But what does he pray? What does he pray? Oh, we have to go back to John 17 for that, don't we? Because in John chapter 17, there we have the high priestly prayer. The prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer is the disciples' prayer. But John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And here was an example. Here was what he prays for us in the glory now. Here was the pattern of the prayer that he continues to pray. He prays that they might know thee, the only true God. And every time a soul is saved, it's in answer to that prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He prays that they might be kept. And the reason why we're kept this morning is not our efforts, but we're kept by the power of God. And it's because Jesus prays for us.
He prays that we might be brought to glory, to behold his glory. And every time a believer goes home, it's in answer to prayer. The prayer of our Lord Jesus, the great intercessor of heaven. He prays that we might be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this morning, the answer to prayer is coming true in our hearts and lives as we turn to the word of God and we study it for ourselves. He prayed that we might be one, and he prays today that we might be one. Not the sort of unity the ecumenist speaks of or understands. No, this unity that we have, not that we're working towards, that we enjoy here and now. Oh, he prays for us. And this morning, can you see the Lord Jesus? Can you hear the joyful sound? Oh, he prays for us. He's our great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, yet without sin. He's our high priest in the glory. He prays feelingly for us. He pleads in heaven and takes no fee, says Thomas Watson. And by how well he describes it. He prays feelingly. He knows our condition. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, with sympathy and tenderness and compassion for us who are still on earth. But he prays for us this morning. And oh, how I rejoice this morning as I think of our great high priest. He prays efficaciously as well. His prayer is prevailing. It's powerful. John chapter 17 comes true. Again, to quote Thomas Watson, who says so much about this great high priest, Christ is the great master of requests in heaven. Yes, he's our advocate as well. The one who stands up for us and pleads on our behalf for us. As the devil accuses us, so the Lord stands up and pleads our cause before the Lord. Did you know that you have a representative in heaven? Oh, my friend, while we seek to plead for him on earth, he pleads for us in glory. While we seek to represent him on earth, he represents us before the heavenly throne. As we seek to speak for him here, he speaks for us there. Oh, what a glorious fact. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. He's active on our behalf. But one more thing. Yes, the joyful bells told the people that he was alive and that he was active, but also that he was appearing. You see, to take the picture again of the Jews on that Day of Atonement, they heard the joyful sound, and my, what a glorious experience it was. The high priest had been active for them, and now just one thing remained. He was going to appear. The high priest was going to come out. The high priest had a twofold ministry, as our Lord Jesus does. He was there, the people's representative before God, and he'd done his work. And now he's God's representative to man, and he comes out to bring his blessing to the waiting people as they were there. He came right out from the very presence of God to bless him, and they would look to catch a glimpse of his beauty and of his glory and to know his blessing. One great Jewish rabbi says this: how glorious was he before the multitude of his people in his coming forth from within the veil. He was as the morning star in the midst of a cloud, or as a man when her days, or the moon rather, or when her days are full. Oh, I can imagine what that waiting people must have experienced. But let me tell you, my friend, we hear those bells this morning. And those bells tell us not only that Jesus is alive, thank God for that, not only that he's active on our behalf, but one day he's going to appear. He is coming again. Oh, what a glorious fact, as we thought together last Sunday evening as we were together. Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word. And one day we'll behold him and we'll see him as he is, his glory and his beauty, our Saviour, our great high priest, and we'll receive the blessing of heaven itself.
the high priest would lift up his hands and he would say, "The Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." But one day our Saviour will come and we'll have the blessing of heaven itself when Jesus comes. Oh, can you hear the joyful sound this morning? They're the bells of heaven itself. The bells that ring forth to tell us that he's alive and he's active and that he's appearing. Little wonder our verse says, "Blessed. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." You see, when you know the joyful sound, it makes a difference to your life, doesn't it? Because when you know this, you're going to walk in the light of his countenance. You know the Lord sees you, and the Lord is with you, and the Lord is before you, and the Lord is behind you. The Lord is with you. You'll walk in the light of his countenance. Christian, this morning, will you walk in the light of his countenance? Do you know that blessed in your heart and in your life? If you don't, then you need to come to Christ and experience salvation. And Christian, if you don't know it, then come back again to the Word and come back to that place where you know what it means to receive his blessing upon your heart and upon your life. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Amen.
Let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from the preaching of God's word today. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to the Savior. If you are a Christian, we invite you to look afresh to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In just a moment, we're going to close by singing a great hymn that invites that look to Christ. But I trust that in this moment of quietness, that your heart will certainly seek the Lord, that you may know that joyful sound. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this word from heaven to our hearts today. We thank thee for the joyful sound of the risen Christ. We thank thee for the joyful sound of the interceding Christ. Lord, we thank thee that our ears can catch the rumble of the chariot wheels, for Jesus is coming again. Lord, we pray that what we know will fashion what we do, that what we believe will circumscribe how we act. We ask thee, our God, to deliver us from the mere standard of the world, of living according to circumstances, living according to our feelings and our reactions. God, grant that we may learn to walk in the light of thy countenance, because we know the joyful sound of the all-sufficient Christ. Bless thy word to our hearts. Save those who are not saved. O Lord, on this day when we sing and preach so much of resurrection, we pray that there will be a spiritual resurrection. We pray that those who are yet dead in their sins may be brought forth unto life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.